You're listening to Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. And for the rest of the hour, we're going to be talking about life without numbers. Can you imagine life without numbers? Well, the 20th century linguist Benjamin Whorf believed that a person's thoughts are strongly influenced by the language they know, by the words they have to express those thoughts. So someone speaking one language has certain thoughts that someone speaking another language may not be able to understand if those words don't exist in that person's language. You know, it loses something in the translation, so to speak. Now, my next guest set out to study this theory. He found a tribe of people in the Brazilian Amazon that has only a simple number system, and he studied their ability to express numerical concepts. His work is out today in the journal Science, and he joins us today to talk about his research. And if you'd like to join us, our number is 1-800-989-8255. 1-800-989-TALK. Peter Gordon is an associate professor of behavioral sciences at Teachers College at Columbia University in New York. He joins us by phone from his vacation in Moosehead Lake, Maine. Hey, must be beautiful up there today, huh?
It is. It's very nice.
Thank you for taking time to talk with us from your vacation. The study is just amazing. I mean, I couldn't believe that you found there's a tribe of people down there that cannot count, what, past the number two or three?
In fact, they have two numbers, and they're almost the same word. So the word for one is hoi, and the word for two is hoi. And so one is a falling tone and one's a rising tone. And anything larger than that, they just call many or ibagi. But also the words for one and two are very approximate. So they might see a pile of three things and call it one. And also the word for one can also mean small. So you might say this is small, that's big. And you'd still say hoi.
So how do they ask each other to go out and bring home a six-pack, you know, of something?
Well,
I mean, they don't get up that high in numbers. So they don't ever ask you to bring back more than two or three items of something or talk about.
They live a life where they go out and hunt and fish using bows and arrows. I mean, they're very, very, basic kind of lifestyle, and they're hunter-gatherers. And so, you know, I had a French reporter who asked me, you know, how do they decide how many plates to set when they have dinner? Well, they don't use plates. You know, they just tear the meat off the animal and eat it.
So, yeah. And they have no problem communicating what they want, what they need to each other.
No, their life is such that they don't really need number. So,
did you find that amazing? I find that.
I did. I mean, I knew there were examples of this kind of counting system, but I didn't. It surprised me how poor their numerical skills were in terms of just being able to sort of distinguish four versus five or something.
Now, because you mentioned in the article in Science how you tested them, I thought that was kind of interesting. Tell us about some of the tests that you gave them to see how well they can count.
There was a total of eight different experiments that I did, and the first six were what I call matching tasks. And basically, instead of having them verbally count things, I had them lay out little items, and these were actually AA batteries, which were handy, and they're a pretty good, you know, thing to substitute for counting. So initially, they were very simple tasks where I would lay out a bunch of batteries, and they would just have to sort of match them up one-to-one. And get the same amount. And then I'd make it more difficult. I would lay them out in a horizontal, and they'd have to go vertical. And then I would do a cluster of nuts, and then they'd have to match them with batteries. So it just became more sort of spatially difficult to do the task. And as that became more difficult, their performance got worse. But generally, you know, they did okay up to about three items, and then it dropped off after that.
So if you put out five or six items and you ask them to match that, what would they do?
They would hover around that number. So they, you know, if it was six items, they might do five or seven, or it might do six also.
So they would take a guess at the number that you're hinting at?
Yeah, actually, if you aggregated all the responses and took the average, they would actually hit the target value right on. But there would be a lot of variability and error in their responses.
Mm-hmm. So they have a concept of large versus small, but not of exact meanings of those.
Right, and people who study number call this number estimation. So they can do approximate number or... You know, people think that we use what's called an analog representation. So it might be equivalent to thinking about the bars on a graph or something, where you get sort of a spatial representation of number, but if you don't have the numbers on the axis to judge by, all you see are the sort of relative proportions. And there's a lot of experiments that suggest that even with us, if we don't do exact counting, we represent numbers in that way.
Would it be something like glancing at a clock and saying, you know, getting a, you know, a sort of an image of what time it is, but not the exact time, because you look at the hand where it is. So
right. Yeah, that's a very good analogy. Yeah.
And so they don't need to know the exact number because their culture doesn't need it. They just say, oh, you know.
Right. there are circumstances where they trade with river traders at the mouth of the river, where they would do a lot better in their trading, probably, if they had a better idea about number. But as it is, they don't use money, but they often will get ripped off because their quantitative skills are fairly poor.
Now, you were there for what, 2 years studying?
I went 3 years,
3 years
for this tribe, but the longest, the middle year was my longest trip, where I stayed for 2 months in two of the villages.
Did they notice you counting things and wonder if you're a crazy person or why you do this or, you know?
Well, I think they got the sense that these tasks I was doing with them were about counting. They just were very poor at them. My colleague who I went down there with, who had lived with them for over 20 years, was Dan Everett, and he at some periods of time had tried to teach them how to count using Portuguese words, and they essentially were baffled by it. But he said that the children were very good at it.
Well, that's so, what they you anticipated my question. You could teach. Well, if the kids are good at it and they know how to count and they understand the concept, it must drive them nuts.
Well, they don't know how to count. It's when the adults sort of got tired of doing it, they didn't really like the idea that the kids were doing it, and so they sort of discouraged them from participating anymore. So there weren't any children that actually ended up learning to fully count, but they were doing much better than the adults as far as it went. Yeah.
Well, if you grow up knowing how to count and no one else, just because you gave them that talent, you know, it's like
that would be frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you're a scientist, so you have to try to put this all in context. Put this in context for what this all means to you when you study culture.
I think it fits very nicely with current research that studies how people represent number. And basically, a lot of people are finding that there's two different systems. There's a small number system, which is sort of 1, 2, and 3, that you can essentially represent numbers without having to actually count, but you have a good exact representation because you have something like sort of 3 slots in your memory, and so you can sort of remember up to three objects. And then beyond that, you have a sort of estimation ability that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And so what the language does for you is it allows you to take the kind of exact number ability for the 1, 2, and 3 and extend it beyond that into the larger numbers. So if you take away the language, it's sort of like a deprivation study, and what you end up with is essentially the sort of innate ability for number, which is the sort of small number, large number distinction. But you never get beyond that, and you never get to exactly perceive the bigger numbers.
1-800-989-8255. Let's go to the phones. Lots of interesting calls, especially from Esther in Hayward, California. Hi, Esther.
Hi.
Hi.
I would call you in disagreement the first time I call you, but I listen all the time, Ira. I love your show.
Thank you. But you've got a bone to pick.
Yeah. I remember that back in the 30s and 40s, there were a lot of Australians who put it about that the Aborigines there couldn't count past 3. And, of course, now we know that's ridiculous. And I, frankly, don't believe this study. I think that it's a difference in translation, a difference in language concepts, in a different way of understanding number, but I can't believe that these people can't count past 3.
Dr. Gordon, can you convince her?
I say, like I said, if you take the average responses, I mean, these are very, very simple tasks, just sort of, at the simplest level, it's just sort of lining up, matching things in one-to-one correspondence, but my colleagues have been going down for 25 years, and they just don't use these numbers.
Well, one-to-one correspondence is what we do in kindergarten, first grade, but there must be other ways of number conceptualizing.
There were other tasks, too. So, for example, I would put a candy in a box, and it might have a picture of three fish on it. And I'd put it behind my back, and then I'd come out with two boxes, and one would have three, and one would have four or two, so it would be one, a difference of one. And they were pretty much random in picking the right box, even though it was a pretty good reward for them to, get the candy.
I've seen mother raccoons who, when one of their kids is missing, stands up and chews them out because it looks like that mother raccoon can count to three.
But you don't keep track of your kids by counting them, right? You know who they are.
Does she?
I mean, maybe if in the Home Alone movie they lose count of the kids, but normally you keep track of your kids because they're individual people that
right.
know them.
All right, Esther, thanks for calling. 1-800-989-8255. We're talking about counting this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. With Peter Gordon, Associate Professor of Behavioral Sciences at Columbia. I guess people would greet this with natural skepticism,
I think so, yes. And actually, one of the original motivation for going down there was that I had come across reports of this before, and I actually wasn't going down there to test the wolf hypothesis. I had read some research, and one of the books I had read was The Children's Conception of Number by the Gelman and Galastel. And they had expressed a lot of skepticism that these sort of one-too-many systems existed, and that was based largely on a book by Zaslavsky called Africa Counts, and she sort of said, people said that there were these one-too-many systems, but in fact they used finger counting, or they had taboos against counting, and then they pointed to cultures where they had recursive one-two systems, so they would go 1-2, 2-1, 2-2, 2-1-1, 2-2. So they were actually they were just base two systems, right? Mm. So I really wanted to just go down and, I was probably just as skeptical as the previous caller. And I just, wanted to really make sure that this was true down there. And it turns out that if you talk to missionaries who work a lot of these tribes, it's actually quite common. It's not that uncommon to see this in the Brazilian jungle.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't have any need to think in bigger numbers.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, if they had a society, if they did some, serious farming, or something, whether they would have to keep track of things, or if they began to trade, in a way that required them to really sort of quantify it, they would probably have to develop a number system in some way, but they just there's only 200 of the people altogether. So.
Do they know what zero? Have a concept of the number zero?
I don't. There would be a word for nothing, but it's not a numerical term, right?
And so, where do you go from here with this research?
I have doing some work with some children over here, and. I wanted to see basically if there's sort of a point in development where children have something similar to this, because they will know that one means one, and then they might be at a stage where two means anything more than one. Even though they may have the words for these numbers, when you actually test out what the meanings of the number of words are, they often will. You treat it sort of like a one-too-many or a one-many system. So I'm interested in whether you see similar kinds of results in children when you look at their knowledge of the number words. And I'm also interested in looking at adults when you suppress their counting and see if you can do that.
Well, Dr. Gordon, I want to thank you very much for joining us. Fascinating study.
Thank you, too.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Peter Gordon, Associate Professor of Biobehavioral Sciences at Teachers College at Columbia University in New York. Our program is produced by Annette Heist, Eric Altman, and senior producer Karen Berghoff. Charles Berquist is our director and web producer, and we had help today from engineer James Todd in Durham. If you'd like to write to us, please send your letters to Science Friday, 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10036, or surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. Leave us email there, suggestions. If you missed any of the links, they're on there. You can also... download back editions of Science Friday. Take them away on your Audible.com player on your iPod. and also Science Friday's Kids Connection. It still has its free curricula up there, and once the school season starts, we'll be putting up more, so be sure to surf over to the website. I'm Ira Flato in New York.